Hey there, friend, and welcome to Courageous Radiance Podcast. My name is Brittany Dixon, and I am thankful that you are tuning in and listening today. This is a podcast place where we wives, mothers, and working women get to be anchored in Christ. And therefore, we're thriving. We're thriving because we're getting encouraged through Jesus Christ, our time with Him, our presence with Him, being filled by Him. And we're getting equipped by studying this word together, the Bible together. And again, when we live anchored, intentionally deciding to be anchored, our situations, our life circumstances don't always have to be on the up and up. They're on the up and up because of our anchor, even when it doesn't look like it from the outside. So that's what this podcast is for, and that's what I'm truly, truly passionate about. As we get into this podcast, I think I want to start here. As we're going to start off today, I have a question for the courageous. What happens? We're going to talk marriage today. So what happens when what you want for your marriage is not what you are getting in the marriage? What happens? And this can be any topic. This can be broad stroke. This can be in one particular area. Maybe he was supposed to be the one who cooked. Maybe you thought that he would be a better, more equipped to lead your family spiritually, right? Maybe you're like, why do I gotta be the devotional person? Why do I always have to pray? Maybe it's in parenting, or maybe it's just the marriage as a whole. But what happens when your childhood, when you were playing Barbies, Double Dutch, all of that, and you just had your whole dream list that was like 21 points of what your husband is going to be and how amazing your marriage is going to be? What happens when that's not what you're living day to day, week by week, month to month? What happens? Well, before we jump in, this Saturday, which is the 13th of April, and it's by invite only. So if you are following me on Instagram at Courageous Radiance, you also, if you listen to or go to the blog, read the blog, courageousradiance.com, there is a place there for the free webinar that's coming up this Saturday at 11 a.m. And again, that's Saturday, April 13th. Free webinar for wives. So if you are a wife, if you know a wife, drag one along with you. We've got giveaways. We are going to be talking thriving in marriage when it's more for worse than it is for better. Just really, I wanted to add some value to wives in some seasons that aren't good seasons. And where the Lord is really helping me to remember this one word, remember. It's interesting. Whether I'm in Bible study and I'm reading it along with the group of Bible study people at my church, like we're studying Exodus. I'm reading John with some women I'm discipling. I was randomly in 1 Corinthians. This word remember keeps coming into my frontal. And when I remember, my husband and I are going to be celebrating 17 years of marriage next month. And when I remember the first 10 to 11 of them, you do the math of that, y'all, I'm like, okay, this has got to, I cannot lose this. This is not just for me and my memories and my journals, right? This is meant for something bigger. All that I have gone through. And I know that what I've gone through, there's people who've gone through even more. Or let's say you are like, well, I don't really have any story like that. That's okay, friend. Like, there's still some level of encouragement, period. But going back to my question, because I digress. What happens when this marriage is not satisfying you, whether that's in one area or in totality? Maybe you just kind of at that point where, well, I love him, but I don't really like him. Okay. I don't quite know what that means, but is it because y'all just argued yesterday? I mean, like, you know, expound on that. But a better question for me that I like to use, whether it's marriage or in or other things in life, is how can we, or if I'm speaking about me, how can I follow Christ well in seeking an answer? So yes, I want the answer. Lord, please give it to me in flashing lights. But even more so, in the absence of the answer, which is what God generally does for me, maybe he blesses you with an answer. I generally don't get one like that. Or I might get like a half of one, a quarter, just because he knows how self-reliant I am. But I get encouragement. Like truly, again, this remember word sticks out for me. When I'm going back and reading journals, reviewing the files in my brain, in the absence of answers, God has given me his encouragement. He's given me his presence. So I don't want you to miss, like, please, friend, this is me holding your hand. Please do not miss God coming alongside you in your trial. In sitting, like, not just, okay, friend, let me pick you up out this valley. I love you, daughter of mine. I'm gonna pick you up out this valley and I'm gonna sit you over here. Not just the rescue. That would be amazing. That, let's pray for the rescue. But what happens when God doesn't rescue you and he just comes down, throws in a rope and climbs down and just sits in the valley with you? What happens? Is that enough? Is his presence enough for you? And that has been a very theme question within most of my circumstances of life. That's just me. But where I wanted to kind of pull scripture into this, but let's pray first, is, but we are going to do 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7, James 1, 2 through 4, and verse 12. But let's pray. God, thank you so much. Heavenly Father, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for seeing us exactly where we are. Thank you for hearing our cries, knowing each tear. Thank you, God. God, for my friend that is listening on this podcast, God, I pray that she be encouraged, that she be pointed to flee to you, God, that you be enough, that you be the satisfaction in the seasons where there is none. May it be all you, God, all for your glory, all for your praise. None of me, all of you, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, and before I actually jump into the scripture, and actually these I'm going to actually read pretty quickly. You can head to courageousradiance.com/podcasts and you can get to the show notes there. But I even think about this like on a vacation. I'm saying like your beachside, drink in your hand that has an umbrella in it, and you got your favorite book or whatever it is that's your happy place. And you kind of have that moment where it's like, is that it? I mean, like, amazing, right? Great Instagram worthy pictures. Just life is like, oh my goodness, this is beautiful. But then when you sit for a little bit longer, you're like, right? So when you think about all the time you took to get your eyebrows done, get your nails done, get your hair, all of the 18 boxes of the Amazon that were on your doorstep, all the efforts you took, planes, trains, automobiles, all of that. And then you're like, you get to this peak and you're like, that's it? Okay, right? So when marriage does that same thing, right? Or if it's you finally reach that goal weight, you finally reach that financial goal, finally paid off the house. House is paid off. Graduated that kid. When is God just the basking in of God enough? This is a question like I legitimately wrestle with all of the time. And unless I'm either A, really weird, B, not spiritual, or C, there's more people. And y'all just ain't saying it. You got me thinking that something's wrong with me. But I'm okay. I am okay with being the only. But where I want to read, 1 Peter 1:6 through 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oof. James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Verse 12, same book and chapter. Blessed is the one who endures trials, because he has stood the test. He will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Friend, we are talking about this question of what do you do when the marriage is falling short of your expectations, of your hopes and your dreams? What do you do? I mean, in these scriptures, I think it's easy to say, and I didn't even throw in really John 16:33, where Jesus pretty much helps you quickly get to the point that you realize their life is going to have problems. But he's your peace. He's your hope. He's your joy, right? But trials are not only going to happen, they're necessary. So this abrasiveness that's happening is not only allowed, maybe not caused, it's allowed, it's actually helping. This friction, this irritation, this difficulty is actually crafting and shaping and sharpening me, even though it's harming in a sense, right? It hurts, it doesn't feel good. It's inconvenient. It's not comfortable. I've got to die to myself, right? None of that is like, ooh, yay, this is hard, but it's necessary for me. So I land on, we go through. When I was really literally flipping through journals, trying to find this common theme, it's I go through. I have to. My have to at that time was for my children, and because I knew that I knew what God told me to do. Like, my name is Brittany. I knew that God told me what to do. So I went through. What about you though? When you sit with Jesus, when you model and follow Jesus, right? Or if you think about that concept of what I said, that don't miss how is Jesus sitting by you? Where is he coming alongside you? Just because he's not freeing you from the trial does not mean he doesn't see you in it. So some of my most foundational life verses from 14 years ago sitting at a discipleship table to now, they still aid me. So from marriage troubles to two different children with autism diagnoses, some scriptures that really spoke to me, and I'm just going to say them. I'm not going to read Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. John 16:33 was another one. James 1:2-4, I already read. If you call me on my voicemail forever and a day and will be forever and a day is my all-time favorite. Isaiah 26:3-4. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an everlasting rock. We need an anchor to a rock. If you are in any level of a storm, do not anchor me to sand. Do not anchor me to my favorite pot that seems heavy until there is hurricane level storm. I need an anchor that goes down deep that can hold me when I cannot be held anymore. I can't hold myself. I ain't got it. and I need to go through. What do you do? Where's your hope? Well, I was praying and thinking, so two different storm situations. The one I'm going to talk about on the Sea of Galilee, both were Sea of Galilee, but the account is both Mark 4, I think. But reading in Luke 8, starting in verse 22, one day he and his disciples got into a boat and he told them, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. So they set out. And as they were sailing, he fell asleep. Then a fierce windstorm came down on the lake. They were being swamped and were in danger. They came and woke him up saying, master, master, we're going to die. So they're frantic, right? And rightly so. Then he got up, this Jesus, and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. So they ceased and there was a calm. I love that word, calm. He said to them, where is your faith? They were fearful and amazed, asking one another, who then is this? He commands even the winds and the waves, and they obey him. Amazed or marveled. I'm stunned. I can't even believe it, right? So they were both marveled or amazed, and they were still fearful. I mean, they were kind of like, wait, like, who have we been rolling with? Right? So they're like, wow, the elements of nature have to even bow down to him. So there was this almost like a dichotomy where you have an and both. I can both be in the storm and feel the elements of it and struggle with it and cry about it and do all the things, right? Write the journals about it, pray about it. But then yet at the same time, I can marvel and be in awe and walk forward and go through and obey faithfully Jesus. There's an and both. It can happen, but not in of ourselves. It can only happen when we decide that God is enough. Jesus, even if you never fix this man, Jesus, even if this marriage is never better, Jesus, I know that you have me here because you are crafting a better Brittany. This trial, this circumstance is better for me. Sounds completely flagrant to say this right now, but it is better for me to be here going through. You've allowed. So man, I am gonna, Lord, I'm scared here, right? I'm not gonna sugarcoat this. He already knows my emotion anyway. So when you think about even that Deuteronomy 31:8, Lord, you're telling me not to be fearful. Well, I am fearful. I'm scared. I don't know how, this is just not adding up. I don't even know what to do, Lord. Like I feel completely turned upside down. I love having these honest, hard talks with Jesus and where I walk away and still in an unchanged circumstance, I might add, but feeling as if the burden feels a little bit, it's like the weight has shifted. It's truly the Matthew 11 verses 28 to 30, where Jesus just says, come, give it to me. Faith is needed in me for you to go through. I can be enough. Allow me to be enough. You can have both me and the peace that I bring, because I am peace. That is a gift, is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not man-made. You can have that. And somehow, even though this is your desire over here, it's crazy how Jesus, the same Jesus who I might add, I'm praying for him to change the desires of my husband, for him to change my husband. And in the meantime, isn't it crazy? He ends up changing me. Every time. It never fails. So, friend, I want to encourage you. How can you be both marveled in Christ, yet be honest about the elements of the storm that you're in, these real circumstances that you have found yourself. And the three things that you will walk away, even if it's not that day, that week, that month, that 5 years, that 10 years, that 12 years, whatever, but by going through, because you have to, there's this character development piece that's going to develop. God's going to get glory. And you now have a witness. And even though that doesn't seem like, yay, ice cream, right? Cheesecake, cup of coffee with cinnamon in it. Even though that doesn't feel like that, God is enough. And just again, like we're praying for these changed hearts, I have found that when I allow God to change mine, that's how I'm able to go through. That's how I'm able to go through and come on the other side. Did you notice they went into the storm? Jesus knew exactly where he was sending them. It's not like he was like, oh, wow, I didn't know it was going to be a storm that I can somehow also calm, right? He knew what was ahead of them. He was testing them. We talked about that last week. He set them up for a test. Thank God, this God of grace, this God of mercy allows us to fail some tests exponentially for me. And yet his love never fails. So friend, I pray that today has been encouraging for you. It would be such an honor if you would share this with a friend who you know that may need this encouragement as well. And I really pray that, like always, I'm going to encourage you that you take this, run to your time with the Lord this week. I really pray I get to see you here next week. In the meantime, I'm cheering you on.